1001 songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, as selected by Toby Cresswell and presented by Seth Tetley-Jones, which is happens to be me, as it happens. Now, Toby Cresswell, Australian music journalist, wrote this book, a bit biased, but at the same time is saying that these are the songs he thinks are the best 1001, or in a way, the most influential 1001, the ones that will be really good for your palate as an appreciator of music, or some similarly profound phrase, and of course one of his elements of bias is his Australian-ishness, which is quite apparent in this track here, Australian Crawl and Reckless, from 1984. Melbourne singer-songwriter James Rain was an acute lyricist who frequently allowed the bombast of his band Australian Crawl to obscure the simple elegance and wit of his verses. Reckless, as produced by Mark Opitz, came out unadorned and has become a classic Australian pop ballad. The song is a Riviere juxtaposing images of solitude and loneliness. Burke and Wills's tragic desert expedition on which they died of starvation, or Scott abandoned in the Arctic, or a Russian submarine trapped under the Arctic ice. And there's the chorus, throw down your guns, don't be so reckless. The mood of Reckless was not at all conscious, said Rain. It fell out. There was no conscious decision to make the mood on this, or it should be about this, and I'll have these images. The way I sat and I played my guitar on that day and is how it came out. I wrote Reckless when I did the mini-series called Return to Eden. I was amusing myself by myself with my guitar. I watched the ferry go by, and honestly, it sounds pretentious, but the song took about as long to write as it does to play it. I never thought it was any good. I was going out with this girl, and I'd been away, and she'd shot a job on a film that had been shot in the South Pacific, so we didn't see each other for about 9 months one particular year. It doesn't really hang together for me, all the imagery. It's all about being alone or lonely or something. The lyrics are a series of images, but honestly, from memory, they pretty much fell off the top of my head trying to think of people alone or of aloneness. Recently, there had been one of those Russian submarines that had got stuck under the ice, and they couldn't find it. Old Burke and Will's story, of course, and Scott of the Antarctica, really came out. And then, she don't like that kind of behaviour. What does that mean? No idea. Throw down your guns. Don't be so reckless. What the hell does that mean? And I've heard people say, oh, this is an anti-war song. Okay, if you like. Honestly, don't know. The reason a lot of people think that Reckless has some resonance. Don't want to play it down because, honestly, I don't know. This is Australian Crawl and Reckless.
Throw down your gun.
Yes, that was Australian Crawl and Reckless. You're with 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them. And haven't we got a highly, highly charged show for you tonight? Later on, we've got songs such as Get On Top Of Me, Woman by Tim Buckley, Love To Love You, Baby by Donna Summer, and, of course, the very infamous Britney Spears with and I quote, ... baby one more time. Toby Criswell's choice, not mine. Right now, however, we've got Wanda Jackson and Let's Have a Party from 1958. Wanda LaVon Jackson turned professional about as soon as she finished high school in 1955. She had already cut some country sides while at school at the urging of Hank Thompson and his Brazos Valley Boys. While on the road through the South with Ortsack Jubilee, she met a young singer named Elvis Presley. Before the romance petered out, he suggested that the next big thing would be rock and roll. In Los Angeles, in June 1956, Rhonda recorded I Gotta Know for Capitol. Country tune, Let's Rip in the Middle, into a hillbilly rock and roll track before regaining its composure. The message was clear, however, and Wanda Jackson became the first woman to cut rock and roll records. Jackson was a Hellcat in red lipstick and tight dresses and high heels, and she went on her monogrammed guitar. Went wild on her monogrammed guitar. Jackson's best songs weren't romantic weepies, but were about getting in on the action. She was a prototype for Quattro and Hind and the Riot Girls and of grunge. And that's Riot with two R's and Girl with two R's, just in case you didn't pick up on that. In 1958, she recorded her signature tune, Let's Have a Party, a wild-ass rockabilly knockdown that featured Jackson's Oklahoma twang being belted out in complete abandon. The lyrics are classic rockabilly country nonsense. I never kissed a bear, I never kissed a goon, but I can shake a chicken in the middle of the room. Was it lavicious? It certainly... It was as nuts as Jerry Lee Lewis could get and better than Presley's version. She was the first lady of rockabilly. The first lady of rockabilly, Wanda Jackson, here with Let's Have a Party. And that was Wanda Jackson and Let's Have a Party here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4. This is 1001 Songs with Seth, as presented by Toby Cresswell. Next up, we got Tim Buckley and Get On Top Of Me, Woman. Too much hanging around with the Frank Zappa crowd got Tim Buckley thinking that he should reinvent the jazz rock that he did with Star Sailor. The album bombed, and all through his interviews he said he didn't care about money and fame. He apparently went into a deep depression from which he emerged with an album that was enjoyable, innovative, and spurred 1,000 one-night stands among its listeners. After Star Sailor, I took about a year off and started a book, movie scripts, which all turned into books, and I'm told, well, you better make another album. Buckley said, by way of explaining his new direction. And I said, okay, I was just sitting there. I hadn't touched the guitar in a long time, and I thought, well, I have to get up to date. I saw 9 blaxploitation movies, 4 back Suck It To Me Mama books, and read all the rock criticisms. I took a week off and finally realized that all of the sex idols in rock and roll weren't saying anything sexy. Or had I learned anything sexually from a rock song, or for that matter, anything pornographic? So I decided to make it human and not so mysterious, and to deal with the problems as they really are. So I guess that's where the innocence went. Buckley now fronted a muscular, funky band that fired up grooves that suited a title like Get On Top Of Me, Woman. Greetings From L.A., the album, which that's off from 1972, recorded by Bizarre Records, is a record that is so upfront as to be an anathema to commercial radio that Buckley was aiming at. Yet the grooves were undeniable and the song became a cult hit, especially for some reason in Australia. Well, oh, where's Toby Cresswell from again? Oh, that's right. Oh, isn't that strange? Perhaps, too, his new relationship with his last wife, Judy, was a positive influence on his writing about sex. Certainly, the troubled troubadour sounds happy. Ball and chain on the old brain, he said of the need to write a hit record. I don't see it as a compromise, though. It's just part of my life, having to do something like that and do it as best I could. When you run out of ideas for a particular type of song, you got to move on. Early in my career, it was a semi-rock folk ballad, which was a pretty creative form of song. But because you got you to stretch out, and it always enabled you to say a lot. It was almost like an art song. But then I started playing more gigs and going out on stage before the psychedelic people, and it was fruitless to do an art song, so I stretched by experimenting with rhythms and time signatures. Or, as he later put it, I listened to a radio a lot before writing the songs for this album. There's a lot of radio music in it, full-on blues-type barrel house rock. The album really rocks, and I'm really pleased with it. This is Tim Buckley, and Get On Top Of Me, Woman.
Get on top of me.
Tim Buckley and Get On Top Of Me, Woman. And you're right here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM. You can also catch us live streaming or on demand at www.waihekeradio.org.nz or our Facebook page, which is facebook.com, funnily enough, / Waiheke Radio. And don't forget to like it while you're there, if you're one of those people who indulges in Facebook. Anyway, this is 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, as presented by Toby Cresswell, and selected by yours truly, Seth Tetley-Jones. Coming up next, we've got Cassandra Wilson, and I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Yes, we have. We've got Cassandra Wilson and I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry from 1995. And Cassandra Wilson calls herself a jazz vocalist, with inspiration from not only Miles Davis, but the immortal divas of the 50s. Wilson also brings a modern sensibility to jazz. Wilson was raised in Jackson, Mississippi. And now I've lost my place. And her father was a jazz guitarist of some note. She began performing as a teenager, accompanied by only her acoustic guitar, very much in thrall of Joni Mitchell. She found her way to New York, where she joined the Black Rock Coalition, but drifted into experimental jazz before finding a home with more acoustic flavors. It's very organic music, she said. It's very open. It's very spacious. And I don't know where it's heading, but I'm following it, she said. Her material is not only her own compositions and standards, but also country, pop, rock and roll, and blues. Her breakthrough album, New Moon Daughter, she took Hank Williams' honky-tonk classic and squeezed all the moonshine out, leaving a gorgeous, haunting, soulful ballad of elegant pauses. Well, the South is a wonderful place for music, she said. It's got all of it. There, it's got country music, it's got R&B, it's got both kinds, country and Western. All of these musics. These are kinds of musics which actually emanate from the South. So it's real natural for me to do that kind of music, because it's music that I heard growing up. I always loved Hank Williams, but I never drew the line between what Hank Williams does, you know, and his artistry and what B.B. King does. This is Cassandra Wilson, and I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry.
watched you from afar. When we were lovers, I loved you with all my heart. But now it's getting late, and the moon is climbing. I'm still in love with you. I wanna see you dance again, because I'm still in love with you. On this harvest moon,
yeah. This is 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists and the stories and the secrets behind them, as presented by Toby Creswell and selected by yours truly, Seth Titley Jones. And that was Cassandra Wilson, and I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. Yeah, next up we have Donna Summer and Love to Love You Baby from 1975. Boston-born LaDonna Adrian Gaines wound up in Germany in the early 70s in the cast of Hair. She married, took an anglicized version of her husband's name, and met Giorgio Moroder. My Italian needs a bit of improvement, I think. But he was an Italian-born producer, this Giorgio fellow. With co-writer Pete Bellotta, Giorgio and Summer created this absolute disco epic of Love to Love You Baby. Giorgio structured a song as a DJ would play the track in a club, all 17 minutes of it. Summer, 17 minutes? Sure, it can't be that long. Summer provided all the moaning and groaning of stimulated sex over the Eurodisco beat, and the record notched the disco phenomenon up a little. Giorgio's production of Love to Love You brought Eurodisco to the US in a big way and radically altered the way records sounded for the next 10 years, right up through techno and house music. It's a masterpiece! Love to Love You Baby, with its unabridged sexuality, she said she was inspired by Marilyn Monroe, was a hit in gay clubs and brought straight white people into discos as never before. The song captured the hedonism of the time. We were
coming out of the Vietnam War in the 60s and the protest era, and I was coming out of it as well, she said recently.
She doesn't talk like that. I can't do her voice. I can't really do the whole... Well, you'll know when you hear the track. But basically she said that she thought people were just in a different mindset, and that when the dance music came out with that beat and that movement, it was a switch. In that period, the people were in a dance mood. They wanted to be lifted up, and they wanted to have fun. They didn't want to think. And this is Donna Summer and Love to Love You Baby.
I love to love you, baby. Baby, when you're laying so close to me,
again and again. I'm in such an awful spin in a spin. In
Donna Summer there, and Love to Love You Baby from 1975. You're listening to Waiheke Radio on 88.3 and 107.4, and this is 1001 Songs, the great songs of all time, and the artists, the stories, and the secrets behind them, as presented by yours truly, Seth Titley-Jones, and selected by Toby Cresswell, the Australian music journalist. Now, on a similar note to that last song, we've got, and I quote, ... Baby One More Time by Britney Spears. Written by some obscure fellow called Max Martin. Or maybe he's not so obscure, I don't know. I just noticed that that's the right where the writing credit came from. Because they have writing credits on all these tracks. It's very interesting. Britney Spears was the turn-of-the-century ingenue. Her story was loaded with contradictions. She was a fresh-faced teen from the Mickey Mouse Show who acted like a porn star and claimed, against common sense, that all her virtue was still intact. Britney Spears was the embodiment of the decline of America as much as she sold highly sexualized chastity and Baptist Christianity in one bare midriff package. Actually, that's one of the quotes on the back of the book. It has all the best songs, including all the best quotes from the book, including Mark Knopfler is the most inexpressive singer in history. A Whole Lot of Love is pretty much 5 minutes and 35 seconds of the sounds of a man having sex. And that one about Britney Spears, of course, as well. But anyway, what was I saying about Britney Spears, blah, 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 one bare midriff, highly sexualized package. Spears is ... Baby One More Time. I quote again. Apparently they think that the words "hit" and "me" are far too, you know, something for radio. It was a massive global hit for the 16-year-old. Who, whilst turning the page, here we go. Swedish hitmaker Max Martin, who had also given careers to the Backstreet Boys, wrote the song. It was a controversial start-off with the hook line, "Hit me, baby, one more time," has sadomasochistic overtones and an odd acceptance of domestic violence. "It doesn't mean physically hit me," said Spears in a vein to attempt at rationalization. It just means give me a sign, basically. I think it's kind of funny that people would actually think that that's what it meant. that. This begs the question about whether the sheltered Baptist child star understands the implications of her lyrics. However, in the same Rolling Stone interview, she goes on to discuss the marketing trajectory of her sexuality. It's a sexual song. This may be a little too old for me because of my image thing. I don't want to go over the top. If I come out of being Miss Prima Donna, that wouldn't be smart. I want a place to grow, said Spears. All of this is only an issue because, and I quote again, ... baby one more time, is a fantastic piece of pop. The beat, a looping R&B groove that bounces around Britney Spears' vocal, giving her just enough lift and never losing sight of the dance floor. Pop music is popular music. That's a funny statement. Pop music is popular music. A bit of tautology there. Well, that's obviously what pop music is short for. I'm just bringing pop music to a different level. I'm always going to be pop music because that's what I love to do. I love to dance. Pop music incorporates that. I'm just bringing it to the next level. And this is Britney Spears with Hit Me Baby One More Time. Toby Criswell's choice, not mine. I apologize. Yeah. That that noise at the end, the shock. I mean, who puts that, you know, on a record, you know, the little shock noise at the end. It's like sort of, you know, cheap plane passing overhead sound effect. Anyway, that was Britney Spears, in case you didn't know. And Hit Me Baby One More Time, from here on Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4 FM. Next up, we've got Japan and Ghosts from their album Tin Drum. Starting out as a glam rock band, Japan rode the new wave, becoming more arty and esoteric with each release. Manager Simon Napier-Bell, one of Britain's legendary impresarios, persuaded the group that their only chance of success was with Motown covers. Singer David Sylvian gave breathless, introspective and monochromatic readings of Smokey Robinson songs while dressed in heavy makeup. The styling paid off, however, when the group attracted a loyal fan base at home and in Japan. Yeah. By their fifth album, Tin Drum, they had already developed a sound of heavily orchestrated and dreamy synthesizer melodies, betrayed Oriental and Middle Eastern influences behind Sylvian's really weary, whispering vocal. And the groups essentially ground to a halt by the time that the album was released, and then one track, Ghosts, took off and became a top five hit in the UK. According to Simon Napier-Bell, Sylvian was determined to make amends for the god of creativity by dressing in horsehair and taking a shot in the charts with the most uncommercial track he could find. It was Ghosts, a torrid, dark-sounding moan above an atonal track lifted from Eric Satie's music. Probably the least commercial single ever to enter the British top 10, but by now Japan's fashionability overcame all commercial obstacles. And this is Japan with their single from 1981, Ghosts.
Door, the ghosts of my life grow wilder than is when I thought I could not be stopped. When my chance came to be king, the ghost of my life grew wilder than the
That was Japan and Ghosts. You're listening to Waiheke Radio 88.3 and 107.4. Next up, we've got Chris Christopherson and Help Me Make It Through the Night. He brought country music songwriting into his own. Before Chris, most of the songs didn't have much depth to them, said the late Waylon Jennings. His songs were about sex, but the undercurrent all the way through was love. Help Me Make It Through the Night became a major hit for Sammy Smith in 1971, following Janis Joplin's cover of Me and Bobby McGee. Assured Christopherson's reputation as a songwriter, the version of his first solo album had none of the triumph of his voice. In the time of his scuffling singer-janitor helicopter pilot, his life was in desperate straits. Christopherson brings that history to bear on the tune. I fell in love with the whole life of songwriters hanging out with and writing songs to each other and seeing people that I heard of on the grand old Opry since I was a little kid, said Christopherson. I decided to get out of the army and go back there, to the horror of my parents, my wife, and my peers. For about 4 years, they thought I'd lost my mind. Christopherson eventually came to the attention of Johnny Cash, who could relate to the songwriter's hell-raising lifestyle and deep poetic sensibility behind the lyrics. Christopherson has a deep empathy for the struggle in life, the temptations and the pain. I think so far I've had to contribute. What I've had to contribute has been an almost certain way to look at things, at emotions, said Christopherson of his work. And I think in general my work has been human and made possible to respond to things like I respond to. That's the way my brain responds to my experience, works out in the lines when it's working the best. It doesn't always work out like that, but it works out in the lines that make sense. That particular line doesn't make sense to me. Maybe I read it twice. It makes more sense than you think it would, but I don't think you can wear your heart on your sleeve. And mistakes I've made in that direction have usually been when I was under the influence of something that made me more confident of my surroundings than I deserved. But when I decided I was going back to write songs, I decided I was going to do it right and be true to the best of it. I think it was pretty idealistic. I thought I would show in the best way I could all the emotions I could. And this is Chris Christopherson and Help Me Make It Through the Night.
Take the ribbon from your hair, shake it loose and let it fall, laying soft upon my skin, like the shadows on the wall. Come and lay down by my side till the early morning light. All I'm taking is your time. Help me make it through the night. I don't care who's right or wrong. yesterday is dead and gone, and tomorrow's out of sight, and it's sad to be alone. Help me make it through the night. Help me make it through the night.
That was Kris Kristofferson and Help Me Make It Through the Night. And this has been 1001 Songs, seeing as we're coming up to the end of the show here at Waiheke Radio. And I'm getting the feeling that this is the beginning of the end of 1001 Songs for this year. And in a couple of weeks, I'm planning on taking it right back to where it all began. So if you missed a few episodes at the beginning of the season, well, you'll be able to catch up with them over the next few weeks. But I will, having said that, be back next week, and you can catch a repeat of this show on Sunday at 2 o'clock. And, of course, I'll be back here, right here, at the same time, on the same channel, at Monday at 8 p.m.